Welcome to the message segment of Element of Carry Center International. Listen and be blessed.
Building God's temple. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know that heaven is where God lives, according to the scriptures. Heaven is his dwelling place, and the earth is his footstool. And so you know that the throne of God is in heaven, because that's where he stays, that's where he lives. That's what the Bible tells us. Frequently, the Bible has portrayed heaven as the primary high and lofty abode where God's throne is located. Hallelujah. If you open to the book of Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, the Bible says, "And I say unto thee," speaking to Peter, Jesus speaking to Peter, he says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Jesus speaking to Peter, I called him, said, "Listen, Peter, upon this rock," he referred to Peter as the rock. He says, "The church will be built upon you, the rock, and the gate of hell shall not prevail against it." Say, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Praise God. In the Old Testament, you and I know that our great father, forefathers, they raised altars. Praise God. They raised altars. And especially how that God appeared to them at that point in time, they will raise an altar and they will give it a name. How that God met them, they will raise an altar and then they will give that altar a name. Praise God. And they will burn offerings, you know, and to God upon that altar for acceptance and so on. You know, when they raise an altar, they say, "God is here." They use it to represent a place where God is. Praise God. They will burn incense. They will kill ram. They will spill the blood. They will give God some offerings, burnt offerings. Praise God. And then they will say, "God is here." That used to happen a lot in the Old Testament. You know, but a time came. They thought that it was necessary for them to, you know, go beyond raising that kind of altar. They thought it had become necessary, not just, you know, doing something and then after some time they leave that place, they will go to another place. No. So in that same Old Testament, something happened. Moses built a tabernacle for God, to God, and that was the first tabernacle that was built unto God. Hallelujah. It was built by Moses. In the Old Testament, there was the first tabernacle that was built by Moses. If you study the account of Exodus, if you look at chapter 25 to 27, you will be able to understand what I'm talking about. And later, a second tabernacle was also built. By who? By Solomon. Praise God. A second tabernacle was built by Solomon. In 2 Chronicles chapter 3, you will see how that Solomon built another tabernacle. One that was much, much bigger than that which was built by Moses. Hallelujah. Then there was a third one. And this time, it was built, the third tabernacle, but it wasn't as big as that which was built by Solomon. And the person that built this one was Herod the Great. And the Jews, they put their hands together and then they built the third tabernacle. Hallelujah. They built the third one. And it was a big temple, you know, and don't forget, there was another one that was built by Zerubbabel. But the structure that was built by Zerubbabel was much, much more smaller than that built by Solomon, even than the one built by Herod and the Jews. Praise God. Zerubbabel built another one, but small. So Herod came and built the one that replaced that of Zerubbabel. This one was magnificent and much more modern. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, coming to the New Testament, the Lord Jesus became the first temple. Hallelujah. If you look at the book of John chapter 2 verse 19, I want us to look at it. Jesus was referring to himself as the temple. And this is the first temple that was built in the New Testament. Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple. Now, he was referring to that temple that was built by Herod the Great and the Jews. They had put their resources together and built that tabernacle that I referred to. And then in John chapter 2 verse 19, Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple, referring to that temple that was built, a big temple that took them close to 46 years to build. And he said, in 3 days, I will raise it up. Jesus speaking. Praise God. He said, he told them openly, destroy this temple. And can we go, let's read it down a bit. Praise God. Let's read down. Go to, yes, he said, then the Jews said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple. And will you raise it up in 3 days if we destroy it? Praise God. But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Now, Jesus' body, or Jesus himself, was the first temple. He was not referring to that kind of temple. Praise God. He said to them, I will destroy it. I will rebuild it in 3 days. Destroy it and I will rebuild. He said, for what has taken our fathers, what has taken our people 46 years to build, you say you're going to destroy it in 3 days. How possible is that? But Jesus was speaking about the temple of his body. He said, don't worry. You will understand as time goes on. Praise God. Jesus was speaking about his death. He was speaking to them about his death. Praise God. Because his death and his burial and then his resurrection was going to usher in the second temple. As it was even in the Old Testament. Praise God. And then the second temple is you. Hallelujah. The second temple is you. For the Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 16. Is a popular verse that many of us know. It says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? It says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Referring to you as the temple of God. Hallelujah. Then the third temple is the church. The first temple, I just reeled out the temples or the tabernacles that we had in the Old Testament. If you recall, and I've always said, there is nothing that is in the Old Testament that is not replicated in the New Testament. In fact, a time came and Jesus was asked, have you actually come to do away with the laws? Praise God. Or that which the prophet said? Jesus said, no, I have not come to do away with them. I have come for their fulfillment. I have come that those laws be fulfilled. So everything that you see in the New Testament took its, you know, origin from the Old Testament. There is nothing that, you know, that you see in the New Testament that did not come from the Old Testament. However, the New Testament is the fulfillment of the Old. And that's why you must, these two books, the Old Testament and the New Testament, They work hand in hand. Praise God. You cannot say, no, I will just concentrate on the new. You will not have proper understanding about the scriptures. Praise God. Because your understanding will come from the old, and then you will know what it means from the new. Hallelujah. He said, then the third one is the church. Just as it took Herod, a non-Jew, and then the Jews in his days, to build that third magnificent temple, is talking about the Jews and the Gentiles that have come into Christ to build this particular temple, the church. Praise God. Now, the first one in the Old Testament was that built by Moses. And then the second one was that built by Solomon. And then the third one was that built by, well, Zerubbabel, which was replaced by this one I'm talking about that took them 46 years to build, was built by the Jews and Herod the king. Praise God. Now, the church today, Jesus saying to us, is a temple. And this temple is a mixture of the Jews and also the Gentiles. He was not the only one that built that temple. The Jews also assisted him, or he assisted the Jews to build that temple. Praise God. And that's what happens in this generation. Now, we're talking about building God's dwelling place. It takes something different now. It takes Jesus. Jesus came and said, he's the temple. And now, the second temple is you and myself. Praise God. And then, we have become the church because you are part of the church. In fact, you are the first church. Praise God. Now, put together, we are the church of this generation. Because it's a congregation of the believers and also even the non-believers. Because in every church, in this manner, you still have non-believers. Am I correct? And there are people who will be or who come to church that will come to church for even 5 years, 10 years, and they are not believers. Praise God. They hear the gospel. He enters from here. He leaves from this one. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's look at that 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll look at 16 and 17. And then we're talking about building God a temple. Building God a dwelling place. Now, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Now, verse 17 says something that must be of great concern to you. He says, if anyone defiles this temple of God. Now, you have become the temple of God. Praise God. He says, if you defile it, look at what he says. He said, God will destroy him who defiles his temple. For the temple of God is holy, and which temple that you are. Praise God. So, it's not even a mistake that you're here. Now, God, Jesus says that you are the temple of God. And he says, if you are the temple of God, then you must be careful. I preached a message some time ago about taking care of your body. It's important that you learn how to take care of your body. Because the body is the one that houses the Holy Ghost. Praise God. It is in you that the Holy Ghost, without it, you now, the Holy Ghost cannot dwell inside of you. Praise God. So you must take care of the body. Make it convenient. Make it a convenient abode for the Holy Ghost. Now, he says, if you destroy this body, God speaking, he says he's going to destroy you. So, at every point in time, you must be careful and understand that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that you are the temple of God. Therefore, you must build this body. You must build this temple to the extent that God is happy to live in it. Praise God. And now, I want to make reference to the church that we're building. Praise God. Now, that church or the edifice, let me use the word edifice and not church because we are the church now. That edifice that we're building, we want to make that place as beautiful and as convenient and with a great ambience that whoever that comes there must feel the Holy Ghost. Let me explain and let me bring it to present the time. place, it says the church being built for his inhabitation. Sorry, for his habitation. Now, if you build God a very fine place, I've heard people say when they come to Element of Charis, just as it is, not just here, there are other ministries, praise God, that when you enter there, the ambience is something else. Now, you are comfortable to worship God. You're very comfortable to say, I like this place. I think God is here. Am I correct? Now, if you go to some places, they just put some, you know, sticks together. You just wonder. Listen, we're not living in the era of when they built God, those kind of altars. No. They just arrange stones, you know. No. Praise God. So we're building that place so that anybody that enters there will feel the presence of the Holy Ghost. You will know that for sure God is here. So it's not a temple, it's not a structure that you just build anyhow. And that's why today you don't just build a structure. You must have some understanding about the structure that you're building for God. So it is with you, praise God. If you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, then you must be careful about how that you plan to say so. Display that scripture again, verse 17. He said, God will destroy him that destroys his temple. He said, because God is holy. And he says, this temple, God deals with everything that is holy. God that is holy cannot dwell in an unholy body. It's not possible. Praise God. It's not possible. God will not dwell in a body that is not holy. Hallelujah. And so that's why you must be careful about how that you build God a temple, and which is you. This you must take care of you, understanding that God is there. So there are so many things that you should not be doing as a believer, as a temple of God. There are so many things. You must be careful about how you live. Hallelujah. You must be careful about how you live. If you are such that smokes Igbo, listen to me, you have to stop smoking Igbo. Because God cannot stay in a body that smokes Igbo. God will not be comfortable staying there. And by the way, if you're taking Igbo, you are destroying that body. And God says he's going to destroy you. You cannot, you know, say you're a believer and then you're drinking ogogoro. You're drinking all kinds of... Hey, that's what I wanted to call. But it could not come out of my mouth. You know, I have come to a point where there are certain words that cannot just easily come out of my mouth. Praise God. They can't just come out. I wanted to say it, but it couldn't come out. But there's another one that can come out. I understand now some people have decided, they say they've given it a new name, monkey tail. Praise God. Some call it monkey tail. It's the goat that they mix to Gogoro. And now they package it. Praise God. Dickin, you can go to a party, they will serve you that thing. You will drink it, you will not know that it's monkey tail. And after drinking it, you will be speaking in another tongues. Praise God. They say it's mockite. There's another name they called it. It has plenty names. They've modernized the names. Hallelujah. You don't do that. It was one of the reasons why, listen to me, Jesus said, destroy this temple. He said, I want to destroy this temple and rebuild it. Because that temple was no longer representing God. Hallelujah. It was no longer. In the olden days, in this generation, they used to go to mountains. Praise God. They used to go to mountains. Some people go to Ekiti State. They will go to one mountain. Some will go to Oyo. They will go to one mountain to go and pray. Praise God. Do they still do it now? Why should you go to such a mountain to pray? I want to ask you, why should you? Eh? To do what? It's closer to God. Okay, that is the reason. This reason does not work. Because I do not understand why you should go to, if you have an understanding about what, who God has called you, then you shouldn't go. God dwells on the inside of you. Why do, if you want to go to mountain, listen to me, you can close your door. Lock the door. If you don't want to see anybody, lock the door and be there. What is the difference between this one and that mountain that you went to? You will spend money to go there. Mosquito will bite you. You climb. Praise God. Listen to me. You can be inside of your room. And then there's what they call transportation in the spirit. You can be transported. You are there, but you are not there. And that's why you can be there. And you're seeing things happening in other places. You have transported. I don't understand what you mean because of the altitude. It has nothing to do with altitude. Praise God. Meeting with God has nothing to do with the height of where you're climbing. And by the way, those mountains are no longer holy. Praise God. God does not dwell in those places anymore. Why? Because they've defiled them. It's still the same thing as, you may not know, some people go there deliberately to go and defile the place. Praise God. Not to your knowledge. So God is not there like people used to think. The Bible says my people perish for lack of knowledge. Praise God. So people perish because they lack knowledge. He says that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. He says you are the temple of God. Therefore, take care of this body. Take care of this temple. Build God a beautiful temple. Build him a beautiful temple. Praise God. That God will be proud of to live in. Hallelujah. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 verse 19 and to 22. It says, now therefore, you are no longer strangers. Look at it. It says, now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. You are, when you know, we come together, we're not strangers. There, they were Jews. There, they were non-Jews. Praise God. Now, building God a temple means here, there are people who are believers. There are still people who are not believers. Those who are not believers. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that if you, a believer, a man or a woman, if you marry a non-believer, by reason of that association, you have become a believer. The other one has become, a non-believer has become a believer. You know the Bible says so. That is to say, if you, a Christian, a believer, you marry an unbeliever. It says that by that association, that unbeliever should become a believer. Praise God. It means that when people have children, the children, your offspring will become holy. Even though there's a relationship with someone who is not holy. Praise God. And this is how God functions. He says that those who are Gentiles, those who are unbelievers, who are here, by reason of this association, praise God, they would have to change. Maybe there's somebody here, you're hearing what I'm saying. You are destroying your body. You have to stop destroying that body. And the moment you stop destroying that body, the Holy Ghost will come and dwell on your inside. You become a temple of God. So you're building him a temple. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He said, we are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. You know what it means to be members of the same household of God? Unfortunately, people are also abusing this one. The Bible have said, you know, sometimes people come. I know, I'm aware. Some people come here. Some people come here because they want to get a job. They have heard, if you come to Element of Charis, they will help you get a job. And so they come here. Some of them, by the time they stay and nobody assists them to get a job, they will run away. Praise God. Is that correct? No problem. If you want to get a job, continue to come here. By the time we pray, God will give you a job someday. Praise God. Now, the Bible says that we should do good to those who are members of the same faith, the same household. Now, is there anything wrong with that? But are people abusing it? Praise God. This is where also the danger lies. It says, we are no longer strangers. We are no longer foreigners. We have become citizens with the saints and with members of the same faith, the same household of God. It means that we should do things for ourselves together. So why do you not abuse it? Somebody wants to help you. They help you. You abuse it. Praise God. And then you shortchange others that would have been helped. That's wrong. So you must have understanding of the scriptures so that you can get all the necessary help that you can ever have in the body of Christ. There are people who were here, they got jobs by virtue, by God's providence, they got jobs. They are no longer here. Praise God. They are no longer here. They've all disappeared. But trust me, the day they will have problem on that job, they will come back. They will come back and say, then they will call and begin to talk. Praise God. They want to form one story or the other. Eh? You just think that the pastor doesn't have sense. Praise God. A pastor has sense. He has insight. Hallelujah. Don't abuse the opportunity and the privilege. And that's why sometimes God does not even avail us with just such opportunity. So that we pray and pray and pray and God is looking at us. Because he knows that we'll abuse it. He knows that we'll abuse it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes, let's continue. Let's continue. Ephesians 2:19. Go to, yes. Having been built, listen. He said, having been built on the foundation of the apostle and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself, being the chief cornerstone. He said, having been built on the foundations of the apostles. Now, we are learning from how that the apostles, you know, we must build ourselves in that same kind of foundation. The apostles, the prophets, then Jesus himself, who eventually is become the chief cornerstone. And I told them, when Jesus is the chief cornerstone, it means there are other cornerstones. That's why he said Jesus is the first temple that was built in the New Testament. And he says that you are the second temple. And then we have become the third temple, the church. Praise God. Talking about building God a temple. Hallelujah. Let's go to the next verse. In whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. He said, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple. Now talking about the church. That's why we will gather. You know, sometimes you as a church, you as a person, you as a temple of God, you will stay and begin to pray. Nothing happens. But when everybody gathers, praise God, and you see things begin to happen. And that's why when you go for crusade, you see miracles. They begin to happen. Praise God. As the saints gather together, things begin to happen. And that's what he's talking about. He said, in whom you also being built together. You know, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. And then the next verse says, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Building God a dwelling place. You have become a dwelling place. The church has become a dwelling place. Praise God. And then I would like us to read Haggai, the book of Haggai, 1, 2 to 8. Chapter 1, verses 2 to 8. Hallelujah. You know, in the Old Testament, like I was talking about, God's presence dwelt in physical temples. Then, God's presence dwelt in those physical temples. But today, God is building something greater. He's building something greater through us. Praise God. Not a maid, you know, with hands as it is today. Praise God. The question is, and I like to ask you, are we allowing God to build us into his own dwelling place? That's the question. Are you allowing God himself to build you into his own dwelling place? Many of us are not. Many of us are not. And that's why it's important that we begin to think about building ourselves as a dwelling place of God, as God's temple. Now, Haggai chapter 1, verse 2. Praise God. It says, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, these people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Verse 3. It says, then the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, yes, just run. Is it time for you yourself to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now, he was talking about, as at that time, that, you know, we talked about the house that was built by Zerubbabel. Praise God. We talked about the house that was built by Solomon. We talked about the house that was built by, you know, the tabernacle that was built by Moses. Now, people, even we talk about the edifice today that is built by us as a place that we gather to worship God. People say it is not yet time to build God a temple. Yeah, go back to that scripture, please. He said, it's not yet time. Now, therefore, no, go to verse 4, please. Verse 4. He said, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses? Many of us want to live in beautiful houses. Many of us think about the kind of house that we want to live in. And this temple will allow it to just lie in ruins. Verse 5. He says, now therefore, thus said the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And God is speaking to us today that we should consider our ways. Praise God. And I've often said, listen to me, there is nothing that you do in this life or that you own in this life that belongs to you. Praise God. The house that you live does not belong to you. The day your breath ceases, that house belongs to another. The cars that you own today, they don't belong to you forever. The day that you are no more, other people will inherit the car, or perhaps the cars will just go. Praise God. So why don't you do something that at the end of the day, there will be a crown waiting for you? We are more comfortable, you know, living in our own panel houses, just as we have just read. And then we don't think. In fact, praise God, I remember before we started this project, I know some people made me listen. We just have to get a land. When we get a land, we will build it. All of us will join hands and build it. Oh, this and that and that and that. In fact, many of them even encourage you to go and get the land. Praise God. But after that, we got the land. Where are those people? Where are they? Praise God. Where are the people? Where are the people? But like I always say, the house of God must be built. And there's no one day that project will stop. Because he's the owner of the house and he will complete his job. I would have thought that many of you that go to that site, like a few people have done, no doubt about that. There are a few people that have done it. Praise God. They will go there and say, oh, I understand. I like what is happening here. I'm going to bring one trip of sand. I'm going to bring 10 bags of cement. I'm going to bring 3 trips of sand. A few people have done it. Those people, they have their eyes opened. Praise God. They are partaking in building God, a church, in the manner that will understand it. They are partakers. And the Bible says that the husbandman that labors is first the partaker of the first fruit. This particular statement, you think that it's not for everybody. It's a farmer that goes to the farm and then that labors. The Bible says that he's the first partaker. When the fruits are mature, he will be the first to partake of the fruit. That's what it means. He said the husbandman that labors, a man that goes to the farm every now and then, and then he labors, and then he watches the plants grow. He said, when the fruits begin to come, he will know, and he will be the first to partake of them. Am I correct? Can I shock you? In some cases, it is not all the time that a farmer is first to take the fruit. Praise God. Am I correct? Do you know why? It says the husbandman that labors the first partaker of the first fruit. That's what it tells us. And by your understanding, the farmer that labors, that goes to the farm should be the first. But there are some that will farm before the fruits come out or plantain. Some don't go pluck them. They will pluck it and take. And then when you get there, the plantain not there anymore. Am I correct? Do you know when such things happen? They happen when the farmer does not go to the farm regularly. Praise God. The farmer not they go farm regularly. Maybe you go farm today, next week, now you go next month. Before you go reach there, they don't pluck all the plantain go take.
He said, if you go to the farm on a daily basis, praise God, whatever that is happening, you're seeing it. Now, spiritually, there are so many things that will accrue upon your life that you do not know. Praise God. They are spiritually accruing. They are building up. And that's why, where we are building, there is no day that I do not go to that place. There is no single day that I don't go there. When I, from the office, I will rush to that place. I must get to the site. Now, when we read the scriptures, we don't try to apply them to our lives. I spoke to us about foundation some day ago. I said, we talked about foundation, and I made reference to the fact that Deacon taught it here on one Wednesday. Praise God. I also preached a message on faulty foundation. Praise God. We talk so much about foundation, and if the foundation is destroyed, what can the righteous do? Somebody says the righteous can pray. A faulty foundation, when you have a foundation that is faulty and then you erect a superstructure on it, it's as though the whole of the superstructure is a waste. That's what it means. Therefore, you must ensure that the foundation is solid enough to be able to take that superstructure. Am I correct? When you make such a mistake, you will live with it for the rest of your life, or you bring down that building. Do you know what it means to bring down a building that you've erected, or one day it collapses? Everything will just be in ruins completely. So for you to be careful, it's important that you make the foundation very solid. Don't compromise the foundation. Don't compromise it. Praise God. So we will go to the site on a daily basis to see what they are doing and to ensure that the quality is maintained. And nobody makes a mistake. Otherwise, they will just do you like this. Praise God. And cover certain things. But if you are there on a daily basis, they will not just do you like this. Before they will cover, you are there. You say, no, don't do it like this. This is how you will do it. Praise God. And then it will come out nice. Hallelujah. And then you'll be rewarded for all that you have done. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, Paul reminded believers that we have become the temple of the Holy Ghost. It's no longer how it used to be. I want to read the scripture to you. Praise God. Revelation chapter 21 verse 3. The Bible is telling us that, you know, the future. Okay, look at it. Say, and I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. It said the temple of God is with men. Before, it was not so. It was not with men, but he says, I heard a loud voice. Today is a warning to all of us. He said, now behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Hallelujah. The tabernacle of God is with men. Now, do you know what he's talking about? Do you know what he's talking about? It's talking about the final automaton, about the dwelling place of God as being directly with humanity. Praise God. Bringing the heavens and the earth together. You have heard about the new heaven and you have heard about the new earth. What it talks about today in this scripture is talking about the new heaven and the new earth. It's talking about the fusing of the new heaven and the new earth. It says that the tabernacle of God is now with men. Praise God. The tabernacle of God. I want to ask you a question. Praise God. I want to, you know, sometimes we were saying this one, people don't understand this message. I want to ask you. The Bible lets us know that Jesus is going to come back. Am I correct? He said when he comes back, those who died, they will rise. Am I correct? They will catch up with him. And then they go to where? Where will they go to? And where? Where is heaven? Where is the paradise? Praise God. To beware. It means that this earth that we're seeing, it will pass away. Praise God. This heaven they are talking about, it will no longer be that heaven. There's going to be a new earth. There's going to be a new heaven. And this is where we'll be with him. But where is the place? So all the believers will go to heaven. Praise God. I ask you again, where is the heaven? God's dwelling place. And where is the God dwelling place? Eh? Where is the spiritual realm? This brings to mind what the Bible, when it says that you have become the temple of God, you have become the tabernacle of God. It says the tabernacle of God, the dwelling place of God is with men. God is inside of you. That's what the Bible tells us. The Holy Ghost is inside of you. Praise God. So when Jesus will come, he says that is when this earth, there will be, it's not instantly, but there's going to be a new heaven, there's going to be a new earth. Praise God. Catholics will believe that there's a place that will go and gather all of them together and be waiting for a particular time. People call it purgatory. Praise God. And where's the purgatory? You will have to answer that question. So when you get home today, begin to think about and begin to search it. Where that place is. Where purgatory is. Where God is taking all of us to. Praise God. Hallelujah. God no longer dwells in buildings that are made with hands. God does not dwell in... When we live here, when church closes here now, and we live here, you think God is here? When we live here, and we do what? Hold on. When everybody lives here now, so where God will be here and be doing what? No, if all of us live now, this is church, this is an edifice. Praise God. You are a carrier of God. So if God is in me, God is in her, is in him, all of us go, we are going with the God. He will follow us. So who will not be here? This place becomes an empty place. Praise God. This altar, you see this altar? This altar is as good as something that is erected outside, a podium that is erected outside. This place, the difference is the priest servicing this altar and the servant servicing this altar. Praise God. That when they are here, something happens. Because of them, there's a presence that will always be here when they come. Otherwise, as good as a podium outside. And what makes this place potent is as good as the sacrifices that are made, or that have already been made, or that are currently made by the priests and the servants of the altar. Otherwise, it's as good as a platform. It's as good as podium. Praise God. I want to ask you, do they not build altars when they go to crusade? Don't they build a podium? The podium that the man of God stands to preach, what do they call it at that point in time? No. At that point, what do they call it? It's called an altar. What happens when that man of God leaves that place? When the crusade finishes, what happens? Will it still become an altar? So God is not dwelling in places that are made with hands. God is dwelling on our inside. Hallelujah. Every believer carries his presence. Every believer is a carrier of God. He dwells on your inside. That's what we know. That's what we know. This gives us an identity and it gives us a responsibility. That means there are things that you will never do in your life. There are things as a carrier of God, there are things you cannot do. Praise God. So those of you that destroy this body, by way, Chief asked a question one day. He said, why is it that every time we come to church, they make reference, they say they use fornication and adultery, and yet there are other kinds of sins that are as huge as that one? I say, yes, we make the preachers, they refer to fornication. The Bible says, God speaks, say, I hate fornicators and I hate adulterers. Praise God. He said, these ones will not enter into the kingdom of God. He said it explicitly, that they will not enter into the kingdom of God. And I tried to respond. I said, the reason is because this particular one has to do with the body. And God is saying, don't destroy this body. For every time you commit fornication, you commit adultery and all kind of manner, listen, you're destroying that body. And God is saying he's going to destroy you. So you must be conscious of this one. I'm not the one that says so. So the sin of fornication and adultery has to do with you and who is the temple of the Holy Ghost. This is directly with humanity, which is different, even though it is sin, about the fact that, oh, you're saying something that can consume the whole of the community. I think you made reference to that day. Praise God. That's not to say no. That doesn't happen. But, you know, if all of us are careful about some of these things, then the entire community will not be consumed. You cannot continue to tell lies. It's a sin. Having as much weight as adultery and fornication. Praise God. You cannot go and spill somebody's blood. You have destroyed a temple, and the Bible said God will also destroy you. Listen to me. He said, whoever that destroys the temple of God, and God help you, you go and destroy a temple that God lives in. Listen to me. I say you will pay. It doesn't matter whether you are forgiven or not. You pay that sin. You pay for that sin. Praise God. God would forgive you, but you will pay for it. Go and ask Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul paid. He paid. There is no Christian that suffered like Apostle Paul suffered. You know why? Because of how that he killed the people of God. And so he paid. He was forgiven. Praise God. David committed a sin. God forgave him, but he paid for it. So there are certain things that you commit, you will pay for it. Now, let me tell you, for every sin that you commit, you pay for it. So it is important that you avoid committing sin so that you don't pay. Just rest your feet. Let's close. Hallelujah. So how you live matters a lot. Your thoughts, your actions, your choices, they reflect the temple that you are. The things that you do, how that you live your life, your thoughts, the actions you display, they reflect the kind of temple that you... When we talk about temple of God, we also have temple of devils. We have the temple of devil, don't you know? When Satan has taken over you, you are his temple. Praise God. And it will make you to behave in certain ways. I see somebody smoking Igbo and doing all kinds. And then you say that person is a carrier, is a temple of God. It's not a temple of God. It cannot be a temple of God. You go and kill people. You say you are not a temple of God. If you're a temple of God, there are things that you cannot do. Lift up your hands towards heaven and ask the Lord to help you. To build him a temple. Ask the Lord to help you to build him a temple. To build him a dwelling place. Jesus said that you are the second temple of God. He is the first. The Bible said that we are begotten of the Father, but Jesus is the first begotten of the Father. Just as he is the first begotten of the Father, and then we are the begotten of the Father. He is the first temple of God. Then we are also temples of God. The Bible says so. Ask him to help you. Ask him to help you. So you must have a call to prioritize his house. There are some of us here, we are more focused on personal successes than spiritual growth. Some of us here, we are not contributing anything to the kingdom of God. So it's important you begin to examine your foundation, and you must commit to spiritual growth. You must stay connected to the body of Christ. You must let God shape you into his holy temple. So you must continually yield to his construction process, because every human is a construction that is ongoing. So you must ask him to help you to yield to his construction process and not resisting it. Because the more you resist it, the more you're doing more harm to yourself and even to your generations to come. And so, Father, I say thank you for that which you have done today.
The message you've just listened to was brought to you by Elements of Carry Center International, number 6, Otokutu OPT Road, after Plantation City Estate Fence, OPT. You can worship with us every Sunday, 8 a.m. for our celebration of great service. Wednesdays are for Bible study, 5 p.m. Fridays for prayer and counseling, 9 a.m. Elements of Carry Center International, a place of comfort.